Welcome everybody to the Pick and Pop Podcast. Steve Chalmers, Craig Freeman in the studio for episode 15. We are nearly halfway through the NBL Finals, and it's exciting because as of right now, it's locked at one apiece. Game 3 is tonight upon recording, Friday the 15th of February. The grand final is all tied up. Game 3 is pretty much the decider because I think, in my opinion, whoever wins this is going to go a long way to winning the championship. Craig Freeman joins alongside of me, and I have a feeling that you have the same thoughts as me.
Yeah, I definitely do. I think that whoever wins tonight will win, first of all. I also think this is the GOAT of podcasts for us.
This is very much the GOAT of podcasts. Episode 15. We've come a long way, Craig, since episode 1, but we're up to episode 15, and as we do for the last number of podcasts now, we name them after, you know, members of the Australian basketball public that wear or wore the podcast number. Mm-hmm. And today's podcast, number 15, and as you've mentioned, it is the GOAT.
One, the only, Lauren Jackson. By far, no argument. No conversation, the greatest Australian basketball player of all time.
And usually we run through a host of other names that wear such number. You know, 13 we had about 6 or 7, 14 we would have had 3 or 4. But it was a unanimous decision between you and I, Craig, that once we got to episode 15, we only had to mention one player, one person, one legend, Lauren Jackson herself, the GOAT.
Of course, if you want to get involved, any other 15s that catch your fancy, we decided not to mention any others, but if there's any out there that you want to mention, drop us a line on Twitter. Use hashtag PNRPod. You can also get in contact with us directly at CP_Chalmers and at C Freeman.
That's it. Hashtag PNRPod. Now, this is a flash pod because we're halfway through the NBL Finals. And, Craig, we want to look at what's happening later on. What happens after the NBL Finals are finished? Obviously, the WNBL playoffs and postseason are done and dusted a long time ago. So those female players are either jetted off overseas or they're getting prepared for their off season or the winter season if they're still playing basketball. And so this is going to be a real podcast about mentioning names and where they're going, because I want to know who are these players playing for? Are they taking a whole off season off, preparing themselves for the NBL or WNBL seasons of 2019/2020? Or are they going to ply their trade elsewhere? And there is a lot of good players that have gone overseas. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really excited about is there are a lot of good players that have decided to stay in the Oceania region and playing across Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, we are. You're obviously going to be able to catch all the action from the New Zealand NBL on Pick and Roll. That's great. It's a great league over there. It's getting bigger and bigger. We got the Huskies entering the competition, and there's a bunch of superstar NBL talent really rolling around in the competition this year. We're going to see a couple of them in action coming up very soon tonight, but maybe by the time you listen to this, maybe game 4 or game 5, none other than Mitch McCarron.
Well, you've just briefed over something really quickly there that I think that needs to be made far more important. The New Zealand NBL, but to many Australians, they think, oh yeah, it's the competition that takes our name and just puts NZ over the top of it, even though the New Zealanders call it the NBL. They don't expect too much quality basketball out of it over there. I'm telling you, I've followed it for a number of years. It is quality. It is some great basketball. It's not as big or as popular as the NBL in the Australian terms, but look at how far the NBL has come mm-hmm. over the last 5-6 years. This is the next sleeping beast. And I'm happy to say, and you touched on it as well, the Pick and Roll has a brand new partnership with the New Zealand NBL where we will live stream some games for free each and every week on the Pick and Roll's Facebook page. And I'm really excited because you will get to see some of that talent that you've just mentioned, Mitch McCarron and the guys that are playing in the NBL Grand Final. You'll still get to see them for nothing. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Awesome opportunity for everyone to get involved. It's very easy to watch the games as well, very accessible, which is best case scenario for all involved.
So let's just touch on some of these guys that are going across the ditch to play. Mitch McCarron, probably in the top 4 or 5 players in the NBL Grand Final Series this past fortnight or so, would you agree?
Yeah, probably a top 10 player in the league.
There you go. Alex Pledger, also an NBL finalist.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Wesley. Was he NBL second team this year, if I'm led to believe? If not, yeah, he was certainly close.
Year before, definitely.
Tyrell Harrison, young up-and-coming star. He's a Kiwi, but mm-hmm. Playing for Brisbane. Shea Illy, another promising young player. Reese Vague, Daniel Grider, they're promising young players. Mika Vekona, an absolute stalwart in New Zealand basketball folklore. Jared Weeks, Harry Froling is playing for the new Hobart, or Southern Huskies, mm-hmm. I should say.
Also a boomer.
Cameron Glidden. That was, I'll put my hand up. I was surprised when I heard that one of the New Zealand NBL teams had signed Cam Glidden. What a signing.
We touched on it before. Mitch McCarron and Cam Glidden are two absolute superstars of the NBL rolling around in the New Zealand NBL. I mean, you can catch them for free. By joining in on Pick and Roll online.
Ruben Tarangi, sixth man of the year, most improved player in the NBL, and Emmett Nahr mm-hmm. just completed his first professional season, and he's a kid that is well and truly on the rise. They're just a host of players that are playing in this competition.
Yep.
And I'll be paying attention. Take notice, because it is on notice. The New Zealand NBL, a great product to watch over the winter.
Yeah, and we'll be touching on it a little bit on this podcast, I'm sure, going forward as well, especially the games that will be streamed.
Now, I said we're going to be doing a lot of name dropping because we want to know what's happening after the NBL season is finished and what's happening over the off season. What about some of these other guys not playing in New Zealand? We've just put mm-hmm. the focus on the counterparts in the Oceania region to the Australians. But what about some other NBL, and we'll get to the girls, the WNBL stars, but what about the NBL stars that have decided to ply their trade overseas for the next period of time?
Well, I think first and foremost, the hardest one to miss, really, Andrew Bogut back to the Golden State Warriors for hopefully a championship run for his sake.
That's wonderful news for not only the NBL,
mm-hmm.
the big tick for them, they would be loving that.
Yep.
But for Australian basketball in general, Andrew Bogut, although he declared that he would be officially retired from the NBA once he signed that contract with the Sydney Kings, it's only providing the NBL and putting them from strength to strength. To say someone's still watching Andrew and someone's still watching Bogut dominate, mm-hmm. and I say dominate, he won the MVP for a good reason, dominate the NBL and still be good enough to say, hey, there is an absolute massive talent pool of centers that any NBA team can pick up for the Golden State Warriors, who are the benchmark of the NBA, to go back and say, you know what, I think we should go back and grab Bogey because he could be the difference of us making a Western Conference final, winning a Western Conference final, and winning another NBA championship. That's massive.
There's players like Marcin Gortat, Spencer Hawes, still rolling around there, younger players than Bogut. Gortat was starting for an NBA team earlier this year, and for Bogut to be picked up ahead of players like that shows how strong the league is at the moment. Also, pretty much a perfect situation for Bogut.
Yeah,
gets to play less than 40 games and then just getting in for a finals run for the Warriors really is perfect for him to get his body right over that time.
Did I read he earned something like $400,000 mm-hmm. bucks just for playing, what was it, a month or two? A couple of months?
Yeah, he'll play, well, that's if they make it all the way to the finals, I think.
Fantastic for Andrew, the Sydney Kings, and the NBL in general. Mm-hmm. Nathan Sobey and David Anderson have decided to team up together. They're playing yep. for SIG Strasbourg in France. The same can be said for Mallow Trimble and Brian Conklin, a couple of imports in the NBL. They've gone to Puerto Rico. Don't ask me to pronounce the team name.
Piratas de Quebradillas.
That's a lot better than what I'd do. I saw the final word and thought quesadillas. But it's completely not that. Ramon Moore has gone to Greece, which I thought Nathan Sobey might have returned back to Greece, but he decided on France. Ramon Moore decided to go to Greece. Jacob Wiley, he's returning to Adelaide 36ers next year after re-signing. He's playing with Gran Canaria, which is Brad Newley's old side in Spain. Finn Delaney, this is an interesting one. Finn Delaney has gone to Belgrade in Serbia. And as much as I like Finn Delaney, Craig, and I think he can absolutely tear up the NBL, he's sort of like a Ruben Tarangi. I think he was just biding his time, and Tarangi's finally come out of, mm-hmm. you know, he's himself. This past year, I think Finn Delaney's probably a year or two away.
Had a nice finish to the season, a couple of games.
He did, but he might have done that last season as well mm-hmm. and then sort of went away again and sort of whispered away.
Yep.
But you thought, well, Findlay is playing in Serbia. Why can't Mitch McCarron get a gig in Europe?
Well, wasn't that the whole plan last year?
Well, that's right. He was planning on going to Europe after leaving the Cairns Taipans, and he ended up back in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So.
And then there was a little bit of an uproar from a few fans of the team that may have lost a top 10 player in the NBL then.
Oh, absolutely. Cairns Taipans bleeding when you lose some such great talent like that. Ty Wesley is over in Puerto Rico. Demetrius Conger playing in Israel. DJ Newbill in Russia. Nate Jarwai in France. So this is a couple of Cairns Taipans players we just mentioned. Devon Hall. He was obviously drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder. So he's jumped back to the States and playing for their G League affiliate.
Makes the most sense for him. I think he, he won't be making as much money over there as he was over here. There's not much money rolling around in the D League.
Of course not. And Patrick Richard has now jetted off to Italy, where I think some of those names we just mentioned who were imports in the NBL this year, I don't think we'll see them back in Australia.
Yeah, there was a couple of lower-end imports that, yeah, probably won't be back. Devon Hall's the interesting one. What do you think about his long-term capabilities as a player?
Well, I think he will be an NBA guy. I think he's got the skill set to be an NBA guy. Like you saw the likes of Terrence Ferguson play his trade in Adelaide a couple of years ago, albeit he is a high schooler, so he was a couple of years behind in their development. But he slotted straight into the NBA.
Devon Hall's already 23.
Devon Hall has the, as I said, has the skill set. He has that jump shot that, you know, albeit inconsistent. If that becomes consistent as he continues to develop in the G League and then puts himself at the end of a roster, albeit, let's say, the Thunder, I think he can find a career in the NBA at least 3, 4, 5, 6 years. I don't think he'll be a long-term star, put it that way, but he can be a significant role player.
Only shot 34% from three in the NBL. For a guy who his best skill is probably shooting in the NBA, he probably should be shooting over 40 in the NBL.
Well, it's interesting. You look at someone like Devon Hall, and then you look at some guys like Mitch Creek and Mitch McCarron. For Australians, and I'm sure we're a bit biased, but we clearly see Creek and McCarron as far better basketball players than Devon Hall.
That's probably fair.
Would that be a true statement?
Well, yeah, definitely judging off last year, this year.
But as you've seen, no one really looks at a guy like Mitch McCarron.
Mm.
And Mitch Creek is on the cusp, did get signed. But, you know, he's not going to stick around for a long time unless he finds the right fit.
Yeah, I guess the tough... I think if Creek had a consistent jumper, he'd be in the NBA already. I think it's fair to say. The tough thing with McCarron is, like, he's a very good defender in the NBL, obviously, but does he have the athleticism? I know you'd like to think he does, but it's a very different ball game. He's probably not going to have the ball in his hand a whole lot if he ever went overseas and played, especially if he tried to play in the NBA. And is he then good enough off the ball?
You're 100% right. The game style of someone like McCarron doesn't translate into NBA basketball, where it's one-on-one,
really.
Offensively driven. You know, you only see, it's rare when you see defensive-minded guys stick around for long-term and get big contracts, you know, to add on top of that.
Especially if you're a guard. Yeah. You've got to be at least 6'7" and being able to guard 2 through to 5.
Correct. So there you go. There's some NBL guys plying their trade overseas in the short term. WNBA players, we haven't really felt like we've got too many that we've picked up on coming into preseason. Liz Cambage has been the big one, obviously. She demanded a trade from the Dallas Wings.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen too much action since that occurred. Kelsey Griffin scored a training camp offer with Minnesota. Lalani Mitchell, Kayla George, Steph Talbot all expected to be back.
Yep.
But in the next segment, and this is NBL 1 we're talking about, which is, you know, the new winter competition within the Australian shores. This is the one I'm really excited about. And there's a stat to kick us off when we're talking about NBL 1, which just blew my mind. There will be 50, as little as 51 WNBL players playing in the NBL competition in its inaugural season. That's incredible. I thought that was a massive number.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. The WNBL is a super talented league around the world, and you're talking about the next tier of basketball in Australia, probably, I think it's fair to say the NBL one is that 51 players. There's 18 teams in NBL one. There's 8 teams in the WNBL.
Yes.
Like, that's only just over double. There is plenty of talent rolling around. A lot of NBL players, too, starting us off, a guy who we're going to see in action in the final still, David Barlow, still giving back to Southern basketball. He is a stalwart over there. He's been playing there for years, and you get to see a guy who tore it up this year in the NBL running around out there.
Just look at some of the other names, too. Nick Pozoglu playing for Melbourne. Ray Turner returns back to Bendigo, where he made his name. Adam Doyle signs with the Eltham Wildcats, who are one of the new teams. Toey Smith-Milner joins Kilsyth. Kilsyth, if you look at their roster as a whole, both on the men's and women's side, they look strong. I think
they're wonder where they get that connection from. I don't know how they get all these players. They all seem to go through Melbourne United as well.
They're going to be one of the front runners there for sure. After Brad Pinot was named as one of the co-head coaches of the Melbourne Tigers, you always knew that Dane Pinot's signature was going to come shortly after. Dan Trist returns to the Frankston Blues. Majuk also signs with Frankston.
It's a hell of a front court.
Sam McDaniel at Southern joins David Barlow as teammates for the whole year round. And then there's also one other guy who didn't play in the NBL last season but has been seen running around in the competition in years gone by, and that's Damon Heyer. Played in the New Zealand NBL last season, I believe, correct me if I am wrong, but he signed with the Knox Raiders this season. And my mail is that I'm hearing he's looking to try and insert himself back into the NBL, and Knox Raiders being quite close to the new Southeast Melbourne Phoenix.
Quite close, meaning they're both based out of the State Basketball Centre.
I think Damon Heyer may be on the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix's radar.
Yeah, and look, it's a perfect opportunity for him to really, like, right in front of their eyes, make his way back into the league. And we've just touched on a bunch of NBL stars. There's even more talent on the women's side of the bracket. Opals. There's Opals rolling around all over the place. Incredible. Kayla George is starting the season for the Hobart Huskies. We've got Rachel Jarry playing for Southern. Lauren Nicholson, absolute superstar, going to be out there for Kilsyth.
Tony Farnworth is shipping from Perth to now play in green for the Ringwood Hawks. Monique Conti is obviously going to be one of the key figures on the women's side, is coming back to her junior club and re-signed with the Melbourne Tigers. Tessa Levy signed with the Bendigo Braves. I liked this one. Amy Clydesdale left the Dandenong Rangers WNBL squad a year ago as captain. She decided to sign with the Adelaide Lightning. It was a fantastic decision to go there because she ended up in a grand final. But over the off-season, she's decided to jump back on board with the Rangers.
And it's a fair old backcourt with Beck Cole, who's fresh off third in MVP in an All-Star 5 position. Another young player from WNBL backcourt, Cara Dasari, signing with Kilsyth. Becca Tobin and Kelly Wilson, both with Bendigo. Reigning rookie of the year, Jazz Shelley at Geelong Supercats, and joining her, Zatina Okuso. It's going to be super exciting seeing those two young players running around. And finishing off our list, there's plenty more. As we said, there's 51. Lauren Scherf has signed for the Knock Raiders, Raiders as well. Got that one out there in the end.
Rangers, Raiders, they're all close enough. And Dandenong and Knox by themselves are only a couple of kilometres away, so it's fair enough.
Kilsyth's another kilometres further than that, and Ringwood. And
fair enough to get them mixed up. But there's probably a couple more signings on the horizon too after we finish recording, as the NBL one season is now just about a fortnight away. March 29, I think, is season tip-off.
All games live-streamed for free.
And we're very much looking forward to that. But there's plenty of basketball on offer that's so accessible over the off-season. You know, you think that basketball is finished once the WNBL and the NBL season's over. These fill the gap. New Zealand NBL, NBL One, it is going to be brilliant over the winter months.
You can pay less than $20 for a ticket and get out there and go see David Barlow and Rachel Jarry both play for Southern on one night against probably some more NBL and WNBL talent. Just a great opportunity to get the kids to watch some good basketball.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic opportunities you mentioned there, Craig. 100% agree with you. Hey, one final one before we do close off for tonight's podcast. Basketball Australia named an EMUs team to consist in the, to compete, I should say, in the 2019 FIBA Under-19 World Cup in Heraklion, Greece. I'll get that right eventually. I probably still pronounced it wrong. No Josh Green. He's obviously the next big thing behind Ben Simmons. He was named in a 23-man EMU squad not that long ago. It was suggested when that did come out that Josh Green was not going to play, but he was named anyway. So it's somewhat unsurprising that he wasn't named in the final team of 12. Coach Darren Perry will lead this side. I like what I see, but there's certainly players that have opted against playing for this under-19 squad.
You know, Thon Maker's brother, I believe it is, McKerr Maker, and Kwani Kwani both attend high school in America, and both, I don't think, were on the extended squad list.
I don't think so.
Josh Green was the only one, so they weren't considered for it as well. It is an interesting situation. Are they available for camps? Who's flying them over? I know that there's also stuff like SATs that are on at the same time. It is confusing, but it's still a great team that's gone out. They're going to compete for a medal. They'll probably finish top five, top six, and have a real red-hot shot. Still some great talent rolling out, probably headlined by Kyle Bowen, WA. Frolling from Queensland, very good player. Cody Statman's a gun. And then you probably go, potential-wise, Tamuri Wignis from Queensland. Yep. A little bit younger than the rest of this group, but as a major talent moving forward.
There's a couple of things here while we wanted to discuss the under-19 World Cup squad, the EMUs. Obviously, the last time we jumped on air and we talked on the podcast, we were speaking about the Australian Junior Championships, the under-20s that just were completed. Obviously, some of these guys played during those championships, so we know a little bit about them. If you want to see the full squad, head to pickandroll.com.au. You can catch it there. But the other big thing is that people may not have, you know, realised the FIBA Under-19 World Cup in its year was when Dante Exum was put on the scene.
Yeah, it was really the first time he was recognised and considered as a draft prospect. Pretty much from that tournament onwards, it was like, this guy is going top 10. So awesome opportunity for a lot of these players. Probably the guy who I think could really shock the world and give a draft a red-hot crack from this group is Tamuri Wignis. He's a little bit small for a point guard, but very athletic, gets up and down the floor well, great passer. Wouldn't be surprised to see him have a breakout big tournament. He's also younger than most people at this tournament. He didn't play in under-20s yet.
He was part of the NBA Global Academy.
Still in it, I'm pretty sure.
I believe, yeah, and was also, I think, a development player at the Cairns Taipans for a short period of time.
Right, it's pretty young to be a development player too.
Yeah, they've certainly tried to pick him up fairly early, hoping that if the NBA didn't come calling.
Stick around
in the Cairns Taipans system. Hey, we've skipped over any I Just Wanters or So Funkies, but if you do pick up any in the near future, let us know. Jump on Twitter, use the hashtag PNRPod. The same goes for if you have any questions you want to ask us. A couple of us happy to answer your questions, or if you've got any statements that you want to declare on the Pick and Pop podcast, let us know. Use that hashtag PNRPod. Hey, we're done for a Friday evening. Game 3 right around the corner. We got to get home. Make sure we switch on the TV, check out what's happening in Perth. We're going to look forward to the NBL finals concluding. As I said at the top of the show, whoever wins tonight, I think, goes on to win the championship. Craig, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Do we get a little bit of a pick tonight? Put you on the spot here.
I'd say a United get the job done by 3 or 4 points and then go on to win game 4. So I'll give you a little bit more than that.
Big call.
There you go. Pick and Pop podcast done for another week. We hope to have your company again next time.